Ellen says, if I am going to be a master consciousness, and I want to be a master consciousness that does not desire coffee, tea, water, or anything else, food, how do I go about doing it? Well, you don't. You don't go about doing it. That is the byproduct of being illumined. Now, when Moses took the people across the desert, he was taking them back and forth and back and forth so they would forget it. But he was still a pretty harsh guy running the show. And the people were hungry at one point. And so he called forth the manna of heaven to feed them. Now, the manna of heaven appeared as substance, and they ate it. Actually, they were eating nothing, but they thought they were eating it. Truly, perhaps Moses was one of the greatest hypnotists, like our friend... What's his name?
David Copperfield.
Like our friend David Copperfield, he makes people think that something's happening when nothing happens. Now, this is what Moses did with the people. Now, whether he walked them across the Red Sea, or whether he walked them across the bottom, or whether the Red Sea really parted or not, it's okay, either way. Whether he created manna from heaven, or whether he created the people thinking that they were fed, and not really being fed, but being adequately fed, because you don't really need food. And so, how do we go about it? Are we creating ourselves not needing, now watch this word that's coming next, because this word is a telling word. We don't need the illusion of food or water or air. We don't need that illusion. You understand?
Yeah.
It is an illusion. Our bodies truly have been created to take advantage of these illusions, to live in harmony with these illusions, but they're just illusions. Does our body have a majority of it being made up of water?
Mm-hmm.
Does our body have so much in atoms in it?
Mm-hmm.
Very small amount, yet it's a tremendous number, but it's a very small amount. When you think of the space of the universe, and you think of one little atom flying around up there in the universe, that's how our bodies are. Our bodies are like the space of the universe, with one little atom floating around inside. But truly, it's in the billions and zillions, you know, because that's the way they've counted it. But I think we'll find out as science researches more and goes into depth that these are not atoms. These are not atoms that make up the system. What is it that makes up the system? Quarks, neutrons, protons, electrons, or whatever we're going to name these things, you know. It doesn't matter. And we're not talking about that so much. We're talking about the one word, which is what?
The illusion,
the relative, the illusion. What is the illusion? The illusion is food. The illusion is water. The illusion is air. Now, we think we need these things, and so we live accordingly needing them. And yet, David Copperfield can make people think that they're hungry when they're not, or think that they're full when they're not. And this is all an illusion. Now, all of life is an illusion, whether it's absolute or relative. It's all an illusion. And what is the illusion of absolute? Give me one word, starting with N. What is the illusion of the absolute?
No.
What?
No.
That's nice, but nothingness, right? The illusion of the absolute is nothingness. Of course it's in the now, but it's nothingness. There is nothing there. The absolute is nothing. Now, can you conceive of nothing? Can you understand nothing? Can you make something of it, you know? No. You want to make something of nothing.
Uh-huh.
And because you want to make something of nothing, you don't understand what nothing is. And nothing is indescribable because it's nothing. How do you describe something that isn't? Now, Herb, you're talking right around the barn again. Yes, this is what philosophers do. You talk right around the barn. Now, what is it that an absolute philosopher does? An absolute philosopher lives in the consciousness of nothing, and he lives in the consciousness and the awareness of the non-relative, which is hard to describe too. He lives in the consciousness of the allness, of the universal allness. He lives in the consciousness of the isness. He lives in the consciousness of no desire, and yet it is everything. The absolute master has everything. The philosopher has everything. He needs nothing, wants nothing, but he plays the games. So long as he chooses to have his body be physical, he will have his body be subject to the world around it. He'll live in a nice body, but he'll have it be subject to the world around it. And that's just part of the game. Now, if the philosopher is ready to let go of the teaching role or the role of being part of the illusion of humanity, or in the illusion of humanity, then what will he be?
Absolute. Allness.
What did Sibyl say? Invisible.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, of course.
Now, how many zillion, jillion number, infinite number of people are walking around us right now in this level of awareness and consciousness, and you don't even see them? You feel their presence, but you don't see them. You only feel their presence when you get into an illumined state of consciousness. But you don't even see them. And they're all over. They're everywhere, doing everything, doing their games. Well, you say, why? Well,
but if they're invisible and live in the honest, why would they play games?
What kind of games?
Yeah.
Why are they still here?
Well,
why are they not here?
They
why are they the, not the nothingness instead of the allness?
But they are the nothingness and the allness.
Yeah, but you, being nothingness and allness, you can play either nothingness and allness or the isness. You can play any game you want.
What games do they play?
But I just told you.
Nothingness and allness and isness.
The awareness of nothingness or allness or the isness. Do you understand that?
No.
No.
Because there, how can there be a game when there is only an is or nothing?
From your point of view, my point of view in discussing this, we say it's a game. Now, to be is a game. To be or not to be, that is the question, remember? Now, what is the game? What is the... Why, Ellen? Why? Now, you should tell me this. Why are you here on planet Earth? Why are you a human being here right now? And why did you choose to have a family you had? And why did you choose to live the way you're living and doing the things you're doing? Why did you choose this? That's why did you play that game? And you're still playing it. Why are you doing that? Come on, give me an answer.
To remember who I really am and to have fun. To be myself and have fun. But...
You call that a game?
Yes, it's a game. But it's a rather complex game.
A rather complex game.
Yes, it is complex.
It is. It is rather complex. But why are you calling it a game? Because you do not know what its purpose is. You do not know why you're playing the game. Why does a chess man play the game of chess, and why does he improve his talents playing the game of chess?
Because
which is
he
just
has
a
fun.
Game. Which is just a game.
Oh, because he has fun in playing it.
Do you think perhaps he is utilizing the inner genius that he has to play all of the ploys that the game has to offer?
Uh-huh.
You know? Now, from your point of view and someone else's point of view, how could you say that's fun? To me and to anyone else looking at it, it takes a lot of diligence, a lot of hard work.
Yeah, well, that's clear.
That's a lot of work. That's not a lot of fun. Fun is where you're just being sort of like irresponsible.
Not really.
No, not necessarily.
No.
But okay, then everyone has their definition of fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, now what are you doing? What game are you playing? Why are you playing the game of being Ellen Jeremini and Sylvia Enns and Ingeborg Pooker? Why are you playing that game?
Because I've decided so before I came into this world.
On this dimension, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I probably and thought it was more fun.
Well, it could have been. It could have been fun if you kept it a game, but you made it serious. And you made it as though it's real serious to be sick, it's real serious to be well, it's real serious to be healthy, or to, real serious to be rich or poor. Mm-hmm. It's real serious. Well, it's not serious. It's only serious if you make it that way. Do you think that the bums on Skid Row, do you think that the people, the street people, who just push their carts around and go to the back of grocery stores and pick up things to eat and stuff like that, do you think that they're serious and they're having fun? It's their choice. They have stable bodies. They could get themselves a job. They could work in most any type of thing. Our Mexicans come over here and work on very minimum wage ideas, and they send money home. Now, these people could do that if they wanted to.
No, but not everybody knows that we are the creator of our world and that our thoughts are things.
Ellen, are you saying that because you believe that, or are you saying that because it sounds good?
Because...
Do you think there's anyone on earth who doesn't think he's number one? Who really doesn't believe that he's not... Why do you think this woman called from Switzerland? She called because she's number one. And she called because she wanted to complain. She called because she wanted to be unhappy.
Yes, definitely.
All right, well, she is the creator of her world and she knows it. I said, you brought these things... I know, but how do I change it? You know, I know, but... You see, it's that button there that gets in the way.
I know.
Now, you ask about Absolute, and you ask about what does Absolute mean, and what does the Absolute contain, and how do I live in the Absolute? Well, you just do it one way. What is that way?
Being it.
Being yourself and having fun. And whatever you conceive of as having fun. Now, Ellen, the little children are playing in the sandbox. One kid, his mother calls, come on! Supper time. And he is an eager kid. He jumps up, leaves his toys there, runs in the house. His mother said, did you bring your toys in with you? No. Well, run out and get them, bring them, put them on the back porch. So he goes out and gets them, put them on the back porch. Now, run in the bathroom, wash your hands, get ready for supper. And so he goes in the bathroom, turns on the water and wipes his hands, you know. And then he comes for supper. Now, how did he end the previous game? Just jumped up and changed.
He did everything.
Now, the other boy, he's called by his mother, and he's sitting there playing, and he just pretends he doesn't hear her. And then she calls several times, he pretends he doesn't hear her. And then, before she calls the next time, he goes in another location, so she doesn't know where he is. And she calls and calls, and finally, she says, if you don't come in now for supper, there's no supper for you tonight, mm-hmm. And when you come in, you go directly to bed. Well, all of a sudden, he appears from around the side of the porch. He appears because he doesn't want that sort of a responsibility. But what game was he playing? Was he playing the game, not naughty little boy, he's playing mischievous, you know, having fun, giving his mommy a hard time, having fun playing that game. Kids sometimes like to play that. And why do they play that? Because they see their parents playing that with each other. The father playing at the mother playing at the father, and the grandmother coming over and acting like an old witch, you know, and saying, you got to do this, you got to do that. Now, I raised my kid to do this, now you do this here. And they don't want grandma to come back. And then the other grandma comes over, and she says, well, how are my little angels? Gives them all a big hug. She says, have you been having fun? Yes. Now, I got something for you. Come on, in the living room. I don't want your mom to see this. Ooh, boy, oh boy, oh boy. That's the grandma on my side, you know. And so she opens up the big box of chocolates. And she says, now eat. And eat them all down. And so they ate them all down. Then they go to supper. And they have no appetite. And their mother wonders what's wrong. And grandma knows, but she doesn't say. And so the kids sit there, I've had enough, I don't need it, you know. Now, that's a game they're playing. And they think they're fooling mother. But mother, when she empties the trash, she sees the box of chocolates that grandma brought for the kids. And she knows. But you see, it's a game. And why does one grandmother play it one way and another grandmother play it another way? Why wouldn't they both play it the same way and getting the kids to just love them and have fun? But you see, it's all a game. Do you think that Francesca, Fernando, what's her name?
Fumasoli. Francesca.
No.
Frederica.
Frederica. Thank you. Do you think Frederica knows how to get the kids to love her? Why doesn't she do it? She comes in that house and she acts like a little dowager, a bitch, yeah. And it's not very nice. And the kids want to stay away from her. But the kids come close to her only out of respect to their father. And so they put up with her just as long as they have to. And as long as, when they're done, can I be excused? And away they go. Away they go. Because now she knows that she could be totally not caring from her point of view, and just look at them and love them and play with them, but she hasn't learned how. That's why I told you, don't give gifts, get down on the floor with the kids. And from that moment on, they were yours. They were yours. They love you. And you don't stick your nose in their business of what to do. You bite your tongue, but you don't stick your nose in there. And that's beautiful. And none of them have died yet. Of the foolish things that you see them doing. Yes. We haven't answered your question, but we've talked about it a little bit. But think about it. We are here ultimately for the Absolute, because that's who we are. But along the way, we're going to play the game of the relative as human beings. And the moment we're ready to step out of the cloak of the human being into the awareness, or not awareness, but into the unawareness of the Absolute, we won't remember that we were the relative. Because we'll have made a great stride. But meanwhile, on our way, we'll do many wonderful things.
Mistakes.
Not magical, mystical things, right. Not mistake. Okay. I don't know mistake.
No. Actually, you never make mistakes.
No, it's your choice.
It's all in an illusion again.
Well, practice, practice, practice. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Love you.